Welcome to this deep dive. In this lesson, we're exploring the foundations of task management. If you've watched the overview, this will build on that. If not, you'll still be able to follow along. Now, let's go further by exploring practical examples, future workplace relevance, responsible use, and how you can build confidence with this skill.
Yeah, and I think that confidence part is just so critical right now.
It really is, because, when we talk about digital overwhelm, there is a very specific feeling most of us are intimately familiar with. Like, you sit down to research something, right? You open a tab for an article, then you open another for your email, maybe a background video, a chat window for a project. And before you know it, you have like 85 tabs open across three monitors.
Oh yeah, we've all been there.
Right. Your computer's internal fan is spinning like a jet engine. The whole system is lagging. Your cursor is frozen. And honestly, that physical hardware failure is actually the perfect representation of what happens to our own brains without a solid foundation in task management.
It is. The underlying mechanism there is virtually identical.
Yeah.
We often treat task management as an administrative chore. You know, something dull we have to do before the real work begins.
Yeah, like eating your vegetables.
Exactly. But it functions exactly like an operating system for your responsibilities. Mm. It is the core framework that organizes incoming demands, allocates your mental RAM, and tracks your progress.
Right.
When you try to hold too many open tasks in your working memory, your internal system crashes. You experience a spike in cortisol, your decision-making abilities just plummet, and you end up staring blankly at a screen, unable to write a single sentence.
Wow, yeah. The stakes of that system crash are incredibly clear, especially when you look at where you, the listener, are right now in your academic life or early career. Like, poor task management doesn't just mean a messy desk.
No, not at all.
It leads to a very real cascading failure. Missed deadlines, chronic background anxiety, and severe drops in the actual quality of your output. We are talking about fundamentally altering how you perform.
And flipping that script requires recognizing that a strong system does the heavy lifting for you. Building these foundations actively improve your personal accountability and, well, consistency.
For sure.
Whether you're navigating a brutal university course load or stepping into a complex professional setting, a reliable system keeps the engine running smoothly so you can focus on the road ahead.
I want to push back on the adoption of these systems, though.
Okay.
Because I think most people fundamentally understand that a workflow is superior to a random sticky note. But actually maintaining that formalized system is notoriously difficult. People start strong on a Monday and abandon the system entirely by Wednesday.
Oh, happens all the time.
Right. So isn't task management just a fancy corporate phrase for writing a to-do list? Like, why is there so much friction in making that shift from a basic to-do list to an active workflow?
That's a great question. The friction comes from a misunderstanding of what a workflow actually demands. A traditional to-do list is passive. It's just a brain dump.
Yeah, like write paper, call mom, buy groceries.
Exactly. And that piece of paper just sits there.
Right.
A workflow, on the other hand, requires upfront decision making. It demands that you take that piece of information and decide exactly where it goes, when it happens, and what priority it holds. It moves information along a pathway.
Which means a workflow forces you to separate the act of planning from the act of executing.
Yes.
If you just have a sticky note, you have to decide what to do and how to do it at the exact moment you're supposed to be working.
And that is the exact point of failure for most people. Trying to plan and execute simultaneously drains your cognitive battery.
It's exhausting.
It really is. When you wake up and look at a structured workflow, the system has already organized your priorities. Mm. You aren't burning mental energy deciding what to tackle first. Systematic tracking improves follow-through simply because you've removed the ambiguity.
The lesson materials actually touch on this when explaining how workflows specifically boost productivity by cutting through digital noise. Because we live in an environment engineered to distract us, right? Constant pings, buzzes, alerts. A well-built workflow operates a bit like a pair of high-end noise-canceling headphones. It doesn't eliminate the outside world, but it isolates the specific frequency you need to tune into.
Right. It protects your attention by funneling your energy purely into execution. The decisions have already been made.
That brings us to the mechanics of actually doing this. Because conceptually, protecting our attention sounds great.
Sure.
But when you are staring down the barrel of a massive digital project, the sheer scale of the work can feel paralyzing. It's like trying to eat an elephant, you know? You have to do a one bite at a time. if we want to build these actionable workflows, how do we physically break down the impossible into the manageable?
Well, the first highly effective strategy outlined here requires shifting your perspective on time. You do this by operating on two different horizons simultaneously.
Okay, what are they?
The weekly task list and the daily task list. The weekly list is your macro view. It tells you what the landscape looks like by Friday. The daily list is micro. It tells you exactly where to put your feet before lunch today.
I always think of tackling large projects like laying down track in front of a moving train. If you don't break the pieces down and lay them fast enough, the whole project derails.
That's a great analogy.
Because if my daily list just says, write thesis, my brain interprets that massive, ambiguous goal as a literal threat. That's when I suddenly feel an overwhelming, urgent need to go organize my sock drawer.
Yeah, exactly. Procrastination isn't laziness. It's a threat avoidance response to an undefined task.
Right.
The psychology behind that is fascinating. Write thesis is not a task. It is a massive project containing hundreds of individual tasks. By breaking it down into an atomic unit, like draft the opening paragraph, or find three peer-reviewed sources for chapter two.
Much less scary.
Exactly. You drastically lower the barrier to entry. You bypass the brain's threat response because the action is small, clear, and highly achievable.
Which is where the digital toolkit really comes into play. We are long past the era where a physical notebook is enough to manage the complexity of modern work.
Oh, absolutely.
There are specific tools you can explore to handle this kind of granular breakdown. Applications like Todoist, Microsoft To-Do, or TickTick. These aren't just digital versions of paper. They fundamentally change how the information behaves.
Because they automate the administrative burden. A digital tool remembers the deadline so your brain doesn't have to.
Yeah.
It allows you to tag tasks, categorize priorities, and most importantly, it can hide tasks from you until the exact moment you need to see them. That contextual surfacing of information is what frees up your cognitive bandwidth for actual creative or analytical thinking.
That shift from surviving to thriving is actually perfectly illustrated by the student case study mentioned in the lesson.
Oh, the weekly planning one.
Yes. Yeah, this was a student who was completely underwater with their workload, missing deadlines left and right. They didn't suddenly become a genius overnight. They just implemented a weekly digital task planning system. And that single mechanical change dramatically improved their assignment completion rates.
The reason that works so effectively goes back to eliminating Sunday night panic.
Ugh, the worst.
It really is. When you don't have a system, the entirety of your workload feels urgent all the time. By creating a weekly plan, that student established a horizon line. They knew exactly what was due on Tuesday, which meant they had permission to not worry about Thursday's assignment until Wednesday.
And taking that student's experience and mapping it onto the future workplace makes the relevance of this skill impossible to ignore. In the modern digital workplace, especially in remote or hybrid setups, nobody is physically walking past your desk to ensure you're on task.
The paradigm has completely shifted.
Yeah.
You're likely collaborating asynchronously with teams across different time zones. You might be in New York and your project manager is in Tokyo.
Right. You can't just tap them on the shoulder for clarification.
Exactly. In that environment, your task management system becomes your primary communication tool.
Yeah.
Your ability to self-manage, rank priorities, and update progress systematically is what generates trust. In a digital-first career, reliability is the ultimate currency.
I want to introduce a slightly different angle here, looking at the ethical and healthy dimensions of using this technology, because I'll admit I have absolutely fallen into the trap of over-engineering my digital life.
Oh, I think we all have at some point.
I have spent 2 solid hours color coding a digital planner, creating elaborate subtags and organizing folders entirely as a way to avoid doing the actual work. So is there a danger that tracking our tasks digitally just adds a new exhausting layer of stress?
This touches on the critical concept of managing cognitive load. The psychological goal of any digital system is to reduce stress, not amplify it. Working memory is a finite resource. When you hold uncompleted tasks in your head, you experience something called the Zeigarnik effect.
Wait, the what effect?
The Zeigarnik effect. It's when your brain constantly loops the unfinished thought, silently burning energy in the background.
Like, don't forget to email Sarah. Don't forget to email Sarah. Don't forget to email Sarah.
Exactly that.
Yeah.
The responsible use of technology involves offloading that mental loop into a trusted digital system. However, if the system you build is so complex and demanding that maintaining it feels like a second job, the tool is failing you.
It's like building an incredibly intricate, beautifully designed filing cabinet. But the locking mechanism is so complicated, you're terrified to ever open the drawers.
Perfect analogy.
Yeah.
A well-managed workflow must respect your time and your personal boundaries. It should actively prevent burnout and information overload. The principle to remember is that the tool serves you. You do not serve the tool.
Right.
You need a system robust enough to capture everything reliably, but simple enough that you can update it daily without feeling exhausted by the process.
Let's turn that principle into immediate practical action for you listening right now. If you want to start building this digital confidence today, the lesson provides a highly practical activity.
Yes, the system setup.
Right. We want you to create your own task management system right now. Whether you choose Todoist, Microsoft To-Do, TickTick, or even just set up a clean, structured spreadsheet, it has to include four specific elements to function as a true workflow.
The foundation of this activity is ensuring information doesn't just sit there, but moves logically.
Let's analyze the mechanics of these four elements, because I know I have personal blind spots here. Element number one is task categories. I have tried using task apps before, and I always fall into the trap of dumping every single thought into one giant, overwhelming inbox. Why are categories non-negotiable?
Well, categories solve the problem of context switching. Grouping tasks logically means you aren't bouncing between drastically different mindsets. For a university student, categorizing by subject, biology versus literature, means when you sit down to do biology, you only see biology tasks.
That makes sense.
For a young professional, categorizing by department or specific project works the exact same way. It batches your attention, which is highly efficient.
Okay, element number two is deadlines. And I don't mean vague intentions like sometime next week. We're talking about specific dates. How does anchoring a task in time change our behavior?
A task without a deadline is just a wish.
Oof, true.
Deadlines force prioritization. When you attach a specific date and time to an action in a digital system, the software can do its job. It can warn you when time is running out, and it can help you visually map out your week. It introduces a necessary constraint that forces you to act.
Element number three is priorities. This is another trap for me. If everything is labeled high priority, then absolutely nothing is high priority. We need a way to filter the critical from the noise.
Assessing priority requires looking at tasks through two lenses, urgency and importance. A digital system lets you see at a glance what is a critical, time-sensitive task that requires deep work versus what is a low-priority, background administrative task that you can just knock out in 5 minutes between meetings. Without priority flags, humans naturally gravitate toward the easiest tasks first, leaving the most important work untouched.
Which brings us to the final element, and this is my biggest personal flaw, progress tracking. I am great at setting a deadline, but I never track the life cycle of the task. For me, it's either done or it's just sitting there menacingly. Why is tracking the actual progress so vital?
Because very few meaningful tasks are completed in a single sitting. Progress tracking is the mechanism that closes the loop. It answers the question, where is this task in its life cycle? Is it not started? Is it currently in progress? Are you blocked because you're waiting on someone else to reply to an email?
Oh, that happens all the time.
Exactly. Tracking the state of the task provides a realistic snapshot of your actual workload and prevents things from slipping through the cracks while you wait on external factors.
So, categories to minimize context switching, deadlines to anchor reality, priorities to filter the noise, and progress tracking to close the loop.
You got it.
Building this habit is not about achieving perfection on day one. You are going to forget to log a task. You will inevitably let a deadline slip. The objective here is daily and weekly consistency. Over time, that consistency compounds into a massive professional advantage.
It really does. Mastering these foundational skills goes far beyond just getting your assignments handed in on time.
Mm-hmm.
It is fundamentally about building digital confidence. It develops your adaptability and your readiness to handle a rapidly changing work environment. When you have absolute trust in your own organizational systems, you dramatically increase your bandwidth to tackle increasingly complex, high-level challenges.
And as we wrap up this deep dive, I want to leave you with the core reflection prompt from the lesson to ponder today. How can stronger task management habits improve my academic performance and reduce stress?
It's a great question to reflect on.
It is. But let's take that one step further. Consider how mastering this digital foundation might actually be the ultimate key to your own creativity. We often think of highly organized systems as rigid or robotic. But when your digital workflow holds the burden of remembering all the mundane details, deadlines, and requirements, your mind is finally empty enough to daydream, to innovate, and to make creative connections. An organized mind is the only mind truly free to explore.
Very well said.
Stay curious, stay responsible, and stay future ready. Please be sure to review the end of module study guide and complete the workbook activities to really lock this knowledge in. If you want to explore the concepts we discussed today even further, our reference materials highlight the books Getting Things Done, Atomic Habits, and The Organized Mind. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive.
Thank you.